now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Adairan Jenkins. Pride is on its way, but before that, we've got a show to do. Today, Edinburgh Fringe.
We talked to Alexis... Oh, God, I gave myself the bad one.
Yeah, I know.
Really before.
Go on, then.
Sakalaris, about how a Stan is born and a love of clowns.
Fumi chats about this upcoming Fringe performance.
All that and more today on Shout Out with Adairan Jenkins.
Jenkins.
I will blame it on the fact that it is Pride Week,
yeah.
And I am racing around doing stuff.
Yeah.
I've been in Paris all last week.
I've
spelt Adairan's name wrong on the script.
I'm Jenkins.
I've done it with an I instead of a
it
Y, and it's
Australian.
Also Jenkins.
I'm Adairan Jenkins today. Welcome to Down Under. Sorry.
What's the time difference? Got to make sure that gets out to the listeners.
I'm pretty much asleep, actually, on the mic. I don't know what's going on.
But now in Australia, in Melbourne, there is actually a 24-hour LGBT plus station.
Is there?
So I'll send that to them.
Oh, my God. Give them a shout-out, Terry.
Absolutely.
And they might broadcast us.
There we go. We're not having that. That's the worst Australian accent we've ever heard.
I don't know. How you all doing?
Good. Isn't it nice being in an air-conditioned studio?
Yeah.
The only reason I'm here.
It's a bit of relief.
So, and a bit of news for you. Do you remember we used to have a kind of like pod feature in the show, and we had different people drop in? Well, Hidayah are back.
Oh, yes. I love that part
of this show. He introduced it all himself, so I'm not going to say any more than that. We'll play it in a minute, but yeah, they're back sending us a pod every now and again.
They were
great.
Here. Their pod started not long after I joined.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it went on to become their own show.
Yes.
Yeah.
These things kind of go up and down, don't they? So, but yeah, they're back on Shout Out.
Brilliant. Welcome back.
Yeah, and of course Pride.
Yeah, I've heard something's happening at the weekend.
Yeah.
People keep talking to me about it, going,
what's Pride?
But it's terrible. Lara's not here, so we can't guess what colour hair she's going to have this year.
Is she actually not coming to Pride?
No, she's not able to make it, which is a shame.
You have to ask her to just send in a photo, just so we have that.
Well, she's probably not doing anything.
No,
she's in London. And London Pride was last weekend, wasn't it?
Well, and then maybe she dyed it for that. It's still probably the dye is remaining, no?
Yeah.
So I should explain this, but Darren's had her nails done.
Oh, I
3 hours worth of work.
Yes. I'm sorry.
I am loving the fact that one of them is a pair of ladies' bits.
Some may say I got a boob job.
You got a boob job.
I got a boob job. It was the cheapest boob job you'll ever get.
So we'll have to get a photo up on Instagram or something
so everyone can understand it.
But yeah, just for Pride.
Three
as well,
hours, that's a lot of patience.
You haven't gone specifically for Pride.
Well, I mean, keyword from that one, obviously. I can't say that on the radio, but yes.
I think you can get away with saying
really?
That word.
Yeah, I think so.
It depends on the context. As long as you're not saying it, say something nasty.
Oh, yeah, then it's fine. Well,
considering technically.
Well, I'm
you,
reclaiming
you
it.
Are,
I suppose.
You can't, not if it's the one with the. If it's a V word, that's fine.
No, it's a D. It's there.
I don't mean to swear at you because it's on my middle finger. I just
I'm sure you can
yeah,
say
you
that
can
on the
say
radio.
That.
Okay. It says dyke, if anyone was curious. Yeah. had you on the edge there.
Everyone was listening. What is it?
I was a bit nervous then. I was like, there are a lot of words you can say, but there's a couple you can't.
So, and are you after partying?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time I've had some drinks.
I didn't know till my husband got one that Pride are doing little badges.
I didn't know that.
That you can get. I don't know if Darren was just doing it to all of them, but when Carl opened his, it had lots of thanks, and Darren had signed it.
Well, I did. I went to the Bristol Pride comedy show that they put on Sunday.
Oh, was it good?
Amazing.
It's always really good.
So funny. Credit to them. It was a great show. But they awarded the host the 15 years of service little... Well, I don't know, it was an emblem badge because of how much work, obviously for free, that they've been doing. So it was really a very wholesome moment right before a lovely lot of laughs.
Yeah, it's mad. We forget.
A lovely lot of laughs.
We're the same age as Bristol Pride because we're 15 this year as well. Shout out. Yeah.
Guys, share it together.
Yeah.
All in the kumbaya.
Although there was Avon Pride before
there was,
Bristol
yes,
Pride, which dates back to 1977.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. They just had to flex on us, didn't
Barclay,
they?
Barclay Wild, I believe, was quite...
Barclay was involved with it in the 1990s, yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of fizzled out. And
they came in and out over various incarnations.
So they're expecting 40,000 this year. At this
that would be big.
That's very big.
Big money moves. Yeah.
And I suppose sensible stuff. Please remember your sunscreen.
Oh my God! Yeah, guys, if you don't know, the UV is going to be 8, and I know a lot of people don't understand what the UV is, but trust me, it's like my stock market, yeah. So I check it regularly. Yeah, the UV is basically
you're a suntan cream salesperson. Really,
I really am. I really am. So use code Adarin for 10% off at checkout.
Yeah,
so,
it is going to be extremely hot. I've even got a white umbrella to refract.
Oh my God! So, she's a Victorian lady.
I'm a lady. Yeah, because I burn looking at the sun. So, and I'm in London this Sunday after Pride.
Oh,
I'm
going to
see Billie Eilish.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Billy.
Well, we'll come 35. Back to. It's going to be 34 for Pride this Saturday. Okay, so, we'll come back to Pride a little bit later on. Should we find out what's going on with Hidayah then?
Let's do it. Go on then.
Salam and hello. It is I, Dom Idris, the chair of Hidayah LGBTQ, the UK's largest organisation which supports LGBTQ plus Muslims. And I'm here to sort of mark the start of our small podcast that we'll be putting out on the airwaves. There's not really much of a format to these, but I hope that there will be going forward. These will just give us a chance to air and talk to sort of service users, volunteers, and everyone sort of connected to us in some way about sharing their experiences and the work that they do with Hidayah or just life experiences being LGBTQ plus Muslim. I feel like these have come at such a poignant time. We've just finished Pride Month. I think for us at Hidayah, and especially myself, it's given us a lot of sort of pause for thought in terms of what it means for our community, particularly this year with a lot of the social and political turmoil around the world and indeed in our own country going on. So I think for many, these podcasts are just going to be a really fantastic way that we can shout, clap, dance, talk more about the substantial issues that face the LGBTQ Muslim community. Those being intersectional ones about family, about faith, about love, about community, all the rest of it. And I think that those are things that make us quintessentially who we are. And our community is vast, and our community is one that covers many different areas, many different backgrounds, and many different sort of peoples. I myself come here, sat as the chair. I'm a gay convert to Islam. So there's people like me who convert, but there's also such a vast array of different people with intersecting different parts of their identity that come into it that just make our community so diverse, but also, you know, moments like this so needed to speak up about different things. So I'm really hoping that these podcasts are sort of a way for us to speak on sort of the different issues that come that our community faces, but also I think more generally. But I think a point to make is that these podcasts will be a really good way to advertise some of the events that we're holding. And I think in particular, there is a wonderful wee event that we are holding this Saturday, the 12th of July at 12 p.m. We're holding a sort of post-Pride event for all the wonderful service users who may be in and around Bristol. So if you are around Bristol this Saturday and you are at Pride and you've had your fill of screaming, shouting, clapping and dancing, then do head over to our website and our socials to sign up to get a ticket for our post-Pride event. Now, you can find us at www.hidayahlgbt.co.uk and there you can find all the sort of information. But you can also find us at HidayahLGBT on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, through Carrier Pigeon, Submarine, Hot Air Balloon, the rest of it. So what I would say is if you're interested, if you're in Bristol, do have a wee look. It's just a fabulous wee event that we're holding there, and I think it would be a lovely wee community get together as well. So broadly, I think these podcasts are just going to be a fabulous way to broadcast what we're doing, the events that we're holding, but also really platform some fabulous and really interesting people that I know come into contact with our organization on a very regular basis. And actually, maybe that could also be you. If you're interested in reaching out and sharing your story and wanting to be a part of this as well, then do get in touch. Make sure that if you are emailing in and it's because of the podcast that you're hearing, don't blame me, but also maybe put that in the heading of the email so we know where it's come from. But yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you so much for the radio waves for granting us this space in order to broadcast some of it. So I hope you're all well, keeping well, and having a great day wherever you are. Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Alexis Sakalaris. Now, I haven't put a Greek accent on, but I hope I've pronounced it correctly. It's a queer creative and musical comment. Now, you mentioned, Alexis, about Stan culture. Now, before we start, what is Stan culture?
Great question, and one that I answer right up top during my show. So the word Stan is derived from a 2000 Eminem song of the same name, and it's about a super fan or stalker fan. And in this song, Stan, the titular Stan, becomes so obsessed with Eminem that he drives himself and his pregnant girlfriend off of a bridge. So a really, really dark origin for that word. But over time, over the last like 25 years, Gen Z has appropriated this term to mean something positive. So nowadays, Stan is a more or less affectionate term for just a really devoted fan. But it can also be used in a derogatory way, in a just disparaging way for someone who is too much of a fan, you know, too obsessed. But the way I use it is in the loving way, you know.
To me, growing up in the 50s and 60s, Stan was just the person who delivered your coal or wore a flat cap.
Touche, touche.
Just saying, Alexis. Now, how did you get into theater?
Oh, how did I get into theater? Well, I basically came out the womb singing. I grew up on Disney movies and old school musicals. Yeah, you laugh, but my family was not laughing.
Wow, such an image there. Such an image.
Oh, yeah, they really had to put up with a lot. I'm a middle child, so always, you know, striving for attention. And yeah, I was put into singing lessons as early as, I think, 5 years old. And I've always loved singing in the choir and being on stage and doing musicals at school. But coming from a family of academics, that was never taken seriously as a career. So I actually went to medical school first, dropped out after 2 years, and then went to drama school in Vienna for musical theater. And I never really planned on being a comedian or a writer. Like, I wanted to go the traditional, you know, performer route, but being in Vienna, I kind of noticed how conservative musical theater is. I mean, especially because Vienna is a conservative city. But it's just a very binary art form. Like, you're either a, you know, a muscly punk or a sexy diva. And I kind of felt like I wanted to be both or neither. Or I just didn't want to conform to those stereotypes. So I kind of started translating pieces and adapting works as kind of a creative outlet before writing original material. For example, I translated Fleabag into German, which had never been done before. And then I added musical theater songs, and I made it into like a queer German Fleabag the musical, which I'm really like, that's one of my passion projects. But needless to say, it was not really understood in Vienna. So that's why I came over to London to do my master's at Mount View for musical theater. And part of Mount View's curriculum is to create a creative project, is what it's called, where you have to fill 30 minutes of stage time and write a paper on it afterwards. And that's your master's thesis. And for that, I was so overwhelmed because, you know, there were no limitations, no guidelines. And one day I just sat down at the piano and I was like, right, I need to do this project to graduate. What do I do? And I just started rhyming the divas' names together over like a couple chords. And that became my opening number for the show. And to this day, like, that section is unchanged. And all I knew was that, look, I love pop divas. They influenced my singing and my confidence and my performance. How do I translate this for the stage? And the natural answer was through the lens of a fan, because I was a little kid growing up looking up to these women, and now I'm an adult myself, kind of transitioning from being a stan into hopefully becoming my own diva. So yeah, that's how I kind of found my way into writing. And then since then, thankfully through the show, I was able to access this whole new world of comedy and stand-up and gigging and just being myself on stage rather than conforming to these like musical theater tropes.
Okay, well, I still try and get this image of you coming out of the womb, singing your heart out. Tell us a little bit, as much as you can, without giving too much away, obviously, about A Stan Is Born.
Absolutely. So my show opens when I'm 8 years old, and my family decides to make a drastic move from New York City to rural Germany. Complete culture clash. It really hit me hard as a kid, because you're in that formative age of, you know, feeling at home and making friends and you know, building up your world. So that ripped me out. And I was dropped into this conservative town, you know, surrounded by people who spoke German, obviously, and I didn't speak German yet. So I really struggled to adapt. And my outlet was becoming obsessed with pop divas online. Thank God for the internet at the time. We had one family computer, and that was how I discovered them. And through watching clips and listening to music and memorizing facts about them, that's how I accessed my own style of performance. Like, that's how I became motivated to join the choir and, you know, get solos and roles and stuff. And I mean, I was always singing, but I was never really on stage until I discovered the divas. So I take the audience through that journey of self-discovery through the divas. And then, without giving too much away, but obviously diva worship only gets me or us so far, because they're not actually there to protect me from, you know, the bullying and the culture clash. So there's a limit to that. And then I explore how I get myself out of that through the real life divas in my life. So my mother, my sister, my godmother, my female friends, they provide a safe queer space for me to queen out. That's okay. The core of the show.
Yeah. Right, Alexis, so we've got to move on because we're running right out of time. So if you could tell us the website where people can get tickets and where you're performing and the dates.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm at Gilded Balloon Patter House in the Blether Room, all Fringe. So from the 30th of July to the 25th of August at 3 p.m., just not on the 11th of August. And you can get tickets on the Ed Fringe website and on the Gilded Balloon website, and also on my Instagram link tree. I'm at A Stan Is Born Show. So all the info is up there, plus images and videos and stuff to do with the show.
Yeah. Alexis, thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out. Break a leg.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Well, that kicks off a conversation or two, didn't it?
Darren
wasn't even alive when this came out.
I mean, it's still a banger, you know.
It is. We were talking about the band
Five. Lucy can sing Five.
Yeah, I know most of the songs, I reckon.
So who was it we met at Pride One? It was Blue, wasn't it?
Blue,
we met one.
Yeah.
Ben from
I've
Blue.
Never ever stumbled so much in my life to get into it.
Well,
I walked over with Emma, and it was older tech. She had to hold something and I held the microphone and it's wired together. And I literally went up to interview him, and Simon took his top off as I got the microphone in front of me, and I literally just went
blah 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 blah.
If you've ever seen salmon with his top off. He's quite a rippling, muscles guy.
You're like, oh, that's a washboard.
And I was just like, hello.
I always loved Ben and his curtains. I thought he was a right dish.
So it was a year. It was one of them had come out as bisexual, wasn't it? And he'd been in EastEnders. Duncan. And they were going to
Duncan from
they
Blue.
Were revamping their career. Yeah. It never actually happened.
Then
as
he was. Oh no, their tour was big, and then Duncan was in Hollyoaks because I love Hollyoaks.
This is such interesting news, guys. I'm not going to lie.
This is the news.
This is
we're
the
not
news.
Doing
we're
the news,
talking
guys.
About
Duncan from Blue.
Said, yeah.
I hope you know nothing current affairs is happening today. We're just talking about the band Blue.
Wouldn't that be a lovely release? Duncan from Blue took his top off somewhere. That
somewhere
is the
one
news.
Day he did. Absolutely.
Well, should we get some actual news headlines then? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Shout out news, welcome along.
News is out reports sobering data from the United States, where funders of LGBTQ issues, a non-profit network of more than 100 foundations, companies and funders, has released its latest report on the state of LGBTQ plus grant making by US foundations. The 2023 Resource Tracking Report examines how foundations funded LGBTQ plus causes last year, highlighting trends, gaps and opportunities. Philanthropic support from LGBTQ plus communities took a major hit in 2023, dropping nearly 20% from the year before. When adjusted for inflation, the cut is closer to 22%. To put that into perspective, for every $100 foundations awarded last year, only 20 cents went toward LGBTQI plus causes, a decline from 25 cents in 2022. A major reason for this decline? The top 20 funders for LGBTQI plus issues decreased their support by 24% in 2023 compared to 2022. Support for Black LGBTQ plus communities decreased by 14.5 million from 2022 to 2023, or 41%, the largest decrease seen in the report. To read the entire report, visit lgbtfunders.org.
Gay magazine Instinct reports that there's a new phenomenon in town, scrotox. Yes, it is what it sounds like. Florida-based cosmetic surgeon Dr. Giselle Plado-Wright explains it like this. Scrotox works by relaxing the cremaster muscle, which is responsible for the natural up-and-down movement of the testicles, known as the cremasteric reflex. This subtle tweak doesn't just freeze the muscle, it gives the whole area a more relaxed, youthful silhouette. By temporarily inactivating this reflex with Botox, the scrotum hangs lower, creating a smoother, more relaxed appearance. According to the Center for Advanced Urology, Scrotox, quote, reduces the appearance of creases in the scrotum, leading to a more even and youthful look. It also fights hyperhidrosis in the most humid of body parts. Instinct summarizes the rise of this treatment as follows. Scrotox is the tip of the iceberg. It's part of a rising tide of men getting real about their cosmetic tweaks. Alongside Bocox, which is Botox for penile girth, PRP shots and shockwave therapy, it's all part of a larger shift, pun intended, towards reclaiming male sexual health and appearance without shame.
I was about to say, top that, Ed. I don't know how you're going to follow that.
Out magazine reports that a San Francisco drag performer and community member who performs under the stage name Hillary Rivers was detained by ICE agents following his asylum hearing in an immigration court last month. Rivers, whose legal name is being withheld to protect his confidentiality, is a gay immigrant from the Central America who has a pending asylum application based on the traumatic and severe persecution he experienced in his home country. He attended a scheduled asylum hearing on June 26th, where the government attorney moved for his case to be dismissed, but the judge denied the motion. As he left the court, he was arrested. It's now believed that Rivers is being held in Golden State Annex, an ICE detention centre outside of Bakersfield. There's not a more textbook case of what asylum was created for than a case like this. Millie Atkinson, legal director at the San Francisco Immigrant Legal Defense Collaborative, said to the San Francisco Chronicle, "To have them take him away from his community during Pride Week, when he's fleeing persecution for his queer identity, and when he had just participated in that pageant, is just horrific to me. It's just a disgrace." Asylum and refugee groups have united with LGBTQI plus organizations in the Bay Area to call for letters of support to be sent to Rivers whilst in custody. San Francisco Pride vehemently rejects the continued attacks on immigrant communities by the federal admission. SCOTUS rulings and the splintering of our communities by ICE on the basis of violations to due process and our city's sanctuary policy. The statement reads, "San Francisco is the vibrant city we know of today because of the contributions of immigrants, especially queer immigrants."
Airing in the morning, the Transgender Substack Daily Feed reports over 100 trans and gender non-conforming people incarcerated in Iran are missing or presumed dead, killed by an Israeli airstrike. So says a human rights lawyer in the region who noted this to the New York Times. The targeted strike destroyed parts of Evin, a Tehran prison known for vicious human rights abuses and the detention of political prisoners. This took place in late June. The facility's trans ward, their words, was reportedly flattened in the attack. Israeli officials framed the slaughter, including human rights activists, medical staff and some nearby residents, as somehow an act of liberation, the Times claims. It's a telling example of Israel's fraught relationship with LGBTQ rights, one that is often deployed in order to justify massacres in the region. The blogger S. Baum for In the Morning says that Israel's narrative on LGBTQIA freedom is that the country is an LGBT plus haven, that the Israeli government is committed to spreading the values of freedom, tolerance and democracy in the world, and that its military aggression is in service to the preservation of LGBTQ love. Not everyone agrees. In a 2024 article for the Society for Queer Studies, sociologist Ismat Elamor condemned Israel's claims to LGBT allyship as incompatible with committing war crimes and other atrocities against them. Elamor writes, "Israel exploits queer rights to project a progressive, queer-friendly image, but in its unrelenting assault on civilians, it, quote, contradicts its avowal of being a beacon of queer rights and human rights more broadly."
And finally, LGBT Hero, the health and wellbeing charity, reports that it has some major new projects for the second half of 2025. 40 and Beyond is an online peer support community group for gay, bi and trans men aged 40 and over. We're here to discuss the issues that can keep us isolated, disconnected and beyond. This includes loneliness and isolation, empty connections, shame and stigma, highs and come downs, the fear of intimacy, not feeling good enough and much more. For many gay, bi and trans men, reaching 40 can bring a new set of challenges. Many of us are quietly struggling with loneliness, addiction and self-worth, or feeling like we're no longer needed or seen. That's why 40 and Beyond exists, to give us a space to talk about what's really going on and reconnect in a way that feels safe, sober and supportive.
So if you'd like to have more LGBT news this coming week, why not check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt, and also keep tuned to community radio for stories of relevance to your local LGBTQIA plus communities.
For Shout Out News, this has been Ezra Peregrine
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
And if you'd like to find out more about Scrotox, Terry is available for private consultation.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Right, we're still with The Fringe, and I'm joined by Fumi Adejobi, and they draw on their personal experiences of feeling like a fish out of water. So Fumi, before we get into what you're actually doing at The Fringe, and you're not even in the country yet, but we won't go there.
I'll be there soon.
Leaving it late, that's all I can say. Right. Tell us how you got into theater growing up.
So I was lucky enough to go to a school that had a really robust theater program embedded in the curriculum. So I really started performing when I was, 11 or 12. And I was really drawn to it. These big Shakespearean productions. We did Gilbert and Sullivan. We did the classics. It was a lot of fun. And while I clearly had an affinity for it, I, you know, being the daughter of immigrants from Nigeria, who I think this is the story for a lot of children of immigrants, but in particular, Nigerians are very, very academically focused, like really, really success driven. I really thought the only options for my life were doctor, lawyer, or engineer. So for many, many years, I thought I was going to be a doctor, and it didn't really feel even like, even though I obviously loved performing, it never really felt like I a real option for me to pursue with any amount of seriousness. And then I auditioned for the big musical my senior year, you know, just gave it one last hurrah before I left. And it was Cabaret, and I got an enormous role. I got the role of the MC, and I had the best time, and I was like, this is what I need to spend my time doing. But even then, you know, I was a really serious volleyball player at the time. So I had to choose between, I eventually got into a Young Shakespeare program, and I had to choose between that and Junior Olympics, which my team had just qualified for. So I ended up choosing the latter. I played in college, eventually quit, and then sort of lost touch with performing. And then a few years ago, my mom got really, really sick. She's well now. She's doing so much better, so much better. But it was a really emergent situation. There was a coma involved, many, many, many surgeries. Like, it was very scary. But on the tail end of that, when it looked like she was starting to get better, I was still feeling very, like, unmoored and really kind of out of touch with myself, kind of like an observer in my own life. So I knew I needed to shake things up. I knew I needed to do something different. And then sort of through happenstance, I ran into a clown class. And so I took a clown class. Wow. And I didn't really know what it was going to be. I had never really known anyone except for one person who'd taken a clown class. And all I'd remembered about that was she described an exercise that she'd done that just sounded so funny. Like, she said, you're partnered up in the class with someone and you just observe each other for a little while. And then your partner leaves the room in front of everyone. They have to enter like you. And she said her partner really, really clocked her in a way that I thought was like, that sounds really fun. And then about a year later, I heard about a class happening at a local comedy collective that runs classes and shows and workshops and all that. And I thought, you know, why not? Can't be any worse than what's happening to me right now. And it was so incredible that I took the next level class, and then I took it again. And then I started my own clown group. And then I took a third level class, and then my clown group started performing together. And then I met a dear friend who I now perform with as a duo. And then I took even more workshops and different kinds of clown. And I did that for about a year before deciding to go to Ecole Philippe Goulier, right outside of Paris, where it's a theater program with a heavy emphasis on clown. And I was there for 6 weeks last summer taking sort of the short course clown curriculum, where I did Le Jeu, Bouffant, which is a different type of clown, kind of like an outsider looking in type of clown, and clown for 2 weeks, each of those for 2 weeks. And that really, like, oh, it just, like, I left buzzing, just like vibrating with an energy, just ready to make and play and perform. And then basically the second I got back, the artistic director of that, of the comedy collective at which I took my first clown class asked me if I had an hour I wanted to show, at the, like on their main stage. And I said yes, even though I didn't. And then I went about making what would, turn into the show that I'm now bringing to Edinburgh called Fish. So that's kind of been my journey through. Mm.
Do you do the makeup and the costume thing? Because I'm thinking traditional clown, you know, that you see in a circus with that big outfit and the pointy hat and
the red nose and all that. So I have a couple of red noses. I have one with me that I'm looking at right now, but I haven't really performed with them lately. But and I actually used to think that the type of clown you're describing, like circus clown and birthday party clown and, you know, all these other sorts of, you know, what we have traditional sort of reference points for, I thought those were really different than, you know, my type of clown. And as I've researched and learned and read and met more people, I think we're all sort of under a very similar umbrella, which is it's all about presence and play And all of those types of clown focus on presence, like being there together with the audience. You can practice stuff, you can come up with ideas on your own, but you aren't really doing clown until you're doing it in front of an audience, because that interaction, all the changes that can come from the unexpected environment, that is what makes it clown, all of us being here together. And also, of course, the play of it all. And I think, like, so I don't do the red nose, but in my show I have a blue face and a really silly costume. And so I think all the costumes, what they have in common is, like, whatever it is to elevate your sense of silliness and your inner sense of fun. So whatever that means to you personally is what your costume is and should be.
Okay. So I'm thinking that it's Fumi dressing up like a Smurf, maybe? Is that it, that color blue we're talking about?
Yeah, it's exactly that color blue, actually.
Love it, love it. Now, tell us a little bit about Fish.
Okay, so Fish follows the journey of a fish who wants to be a human. They start off comfortably in their aquarium. Things go wrong and they're thrust out into the real world and have to learn how to navigate it like a human. So with the help of the audience, Fish, me, I learn how to breathe, I learn how to walk, I learn how to talk, and then I learn how to worry, which is, I think, the most human of all of those four things. And that's kind of the, without giving too much of it away, that's kind of the trajectory of the show. I've done it a few times in the States, as I've prepared, and also as, like, full length shows. And it's been the greatest gift. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. And, like, the best part about not just, like, I think it's different from, you know, writing a play, but devising a piece of clown, which I did with my co-deviser and director, Chris Manley, is it's all designed around what's fun for me. So there isn't a single second during the entire, you know, 50, 55 minutes where I'm not having so much fun. And I think something that I learned at Goliath is that an audience can feel that immediately. They can feel when you're keeping the ball up and you're having a lot of fun, and they can feel when you've dropped it. They can feel when you're being your full, authentic, present self, and they can feel when you're putting up a little mask. And being there has sort of made me more sensitive to that in myself, and then also sensing what the audience senses in me. So it's just so much fun. It's so much fun.
It sounds quite incredible. And what a journey you've had, Fumi. What a journey. Now, when you do finally get into Scotland, where are you performing and what dates?
I'll be at Greenside Theatre performing at the George Street location. My venue is Jade Theatre. I will be on from 7:35 p.m. every single night from August 1st to 23rd, with the exception of August 10th and August 17th.
Excellent. That was very precise. You got that off pat. You weren't even reading that unless you got a piece of paper right in front of you.
No. That was just straight off the dome.
Wow. That's impressive. Impressive right there. Right. So have a good one, Fumi, and hope the journey from the States is a smooth one for you, and you take care.
Thank you. And thank you so, so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Very welcome.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I'm not 100% sure how you say the name. It's Tom Rasmussen, I think is how you say it.
Rasmussen,
yeah. And that's called Fantasy Island. Performing at Pride this year.
I absolutely love that. Thanks for putting that on there, Andy, because I hadn't heard it. And
All the songs from tonight are all from artists that will be on that main stage.
Could you run back through them with me?
We had Kids in America by Kim Wilde. We have Free by Ultranate. I can't believe it was 1997 that came out. Then we had Don't Give Me Your Love, which is by Alex Party, who's quite a recent addition. Someone dropped out, so
That was a major hit, wasn't it?
And then that one's Fantasy Island by Tom Rasmussen.
Brilliant.
Loved them all.
A video for that, coincidentally, is on YouTube. You can get to it if you look for the main acts on the Bristol Pride website. Very, very good video. Really, really good video.
Super duper.
Super.
I can't believe. I was going to see it all. Super duper poo chupa. Yeah,
it's Bristol Pride.
Yeah. So right, sorry. Super duper. I can't wait.
Of all the times we need Steph online.
I knew, right? Stephanie Barnet, radio DJ extraordinaire.
You'll be able to hear Steph live from the march.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes out for her. You can't miss her. She's old and got a Zimmer frame and a microphone in her hand.
I think they're getting very excited over there. Yeah, in the cheap seats.
I think we're on air from about 10-ish, and we'll be bringing you coverage of the march. It'll be me and Darren up on the downs. And we'll be doing talking to
people.
Who's there? It's
just
you, isn't
people,
it?
Yeah, just someone called Ezra.
Lucy and Steph will be on the march, catching up with you all as you all walk past. So I don't know how much we'll take, because I think it's going to go on for hours.
Well, last year beat the year before by quite a bit.
A lot,
and I
it?
Feel yeah. like there's a lot of people, maybe a few years ago, who didn't come for whatever reason, and because of, this is just my humble opinion, that because of everything that's been going on, I feel that people are wanting to be in these spaces even more.
Show up.
Yes,
and to protest, and it's no problem if you're at home, of course.
If you are not feeling comfortable about going to Pride, that's the whole reason we do what we do. We will be broadcasting live all day on BCFM, and Bath Sounds are going to take it as well.
Yeah.
Plus it'll be streaming online and on DAB, etc. You can join us and you can be part of it, even if you're in a bedroom with a earphone in your ear. You can still be part of it and join in.
And I should point out that if you're trans, there's a big trans block. A lot of the trans organisations in Bristol have all joined up together, and they're meeting up next to the bandstand between 10 and 10:45.
500 Arby's.
There's going to be a big group of trans people walking together. So, if you're in any way worried, join up with that.
You are usually very safe with Pride. I mean, the police are there, and they don't have an in your face presence, but they are there to keep an eye on you and keep you safe and the like, aren't they? And Pride itself is really good at keeping things safe. So
I think it's about everybody looks out for everybody. Yeah. And and do you know what? I haven't actually done the march. As in, I've been there many, many times.
Do you know what? Neither have I. My husband
year.
Really, really wants me to march with him. So 1 year we must sort it so I can. Because 15 years of doing this, I've not managed to do Bristol Pride March.
Is he doing it in the way that he's marched it before?
I think we're doing cut down versions because of the heat.
Yeah.
So he'll be there with the fetish crews.
Yeah.
And the like, and the leather and rubber contingency, which is a big part of Pride as
of
well.
Of course.
And he's always there, but of course because of the heat.
Yeah. That's all I was wondering.
There's a limit to
it.
What you can wear.
Yeah.
What is the melting point of rubber?
Well,
if you show up to the march on Saturday, you might see.
I struggle to get a wetsuit off. I don't know how they do it. You know, it's like
it's a bit thinner.
Silicon spray.
Yeah.
Bit of Vaseline,
Vaseline
will rot rubber.
Don't do that then.
Yeah. What about talcum powder?
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. But then you walk around dripping white everywhere.
Dripping white. So many things to think about. So many. All I can think of now is that episode in Friends where Ross can't get his leather trousers up.
Yeah.
And launching talcum powder on himself.
Whatever you do, we do enjoy your Pride. Do join us as well, even if you're like before you're going there and the like. So, but that's it for this week. As I said, we're back live from Bristol Pride this Saturday. Join us from 10 a.m.
on both Bath Sounds and our home station, BCFM. Join us 10 a.m. right through to the end.
We're reported on the march, live performances on the stage, and the interviews backstage we got you covered. We'll let you know weather and traffic and all that too. And we'll have a laugh and a giggle along with you, and bring you some of the serious stuff as well.
Like grand old gay time.
So, but for myself, from Terry, from Ayres, from RB, and everyone else in the background, say happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride!
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.